This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, February 3rd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling from the Family Island, the numbers is 242-357-20. And if you decide to text me instead of calling, it'll be 422-4796. My guest today, the making of the Bahamas usually is Donato Misik. Mr. Misik is engaged today, so he called and canceled. So today's show is going to be an open-line Tuesday. As a response to that, two things that I want to discuss, right? Some things I did not know. I did not know that if you are having a child, a baby, you now have to pay a fee of $400. That's before you have the child. You register, whatever it is, pay $400. I know normally you used to register with $10. Right? And there are some people who did not have the $10 to even register, so they get all of the services at PMH for free, or they put you on a bill, and of course nobody pays the bill, so the bill goes on top of bill, especially people who tend to have a baby every 2, 3, 4 years. They have scores of bills and no one paying for it. But now I'm being told that there's a $400 fee beforehand. And I am kind of happy about that. I'm not sure how I should feel. I mean, I'm not having no children anytime soon, right? But I appreciate the fact there are too many people having children at the Princess Margaret Hospital who leaves bills there and do not pay. And we see the frustration with nurses nowadays, see the frustration with doctors. Both nurses and doctors are complaining about them, that they're not being paid on time, paycheck is being delayed. They're not receiving overtime. We see the doctors have made overtures in the past about their salaries trying to get increased. The nurses are complaining about overtime, and they're leaving in droves. United States are recruiting Bahamian nurses like crazy. Now we are recruiting nurses from Ghana. Once upon a time, we were recruiting nurses from the Philippines and Cuba. But if you go to the private hospitals, you'll see that it's an United Nations of nurses. And perhaps that is good. I'm not saying that it's bad. But I believe in Bahamians taking care of Bahamians. I expect to see Bahamian doctors at the national hospital. I expect to see Bahamian nurses. And because of nuances, right? When you are dealing with Bahamians tend to want to be treated a particular type of way. And sometimes you need your own. And this happens all over the world. Right, your own supposed to take care of you. So now that there's seems to be a mass exodus of Bahamians, we need to be concerned because the Bahamas is supposed to be primarily for the benefits of Bahamians. And if Bahamians are feeling frustrated and disenfranchised, we need to nip that in the bud. One of the comments I've said recently, or that I made on social media, I asked about the new Progressive Liberal Party's candidate for Marco City. I think that's where he's running.
Yes.
And I put it in the vernacular that, on a way how I asked about him, right? Mr. Edward E. Wan. And hopefully I pronounce the name properly. Edward E. Wan. It's the first time I ever seen the name Wan. I'm told that it's like English or Scottish. And it can't be English or Scottish. It's got to either be English or it is Scottish. So it shows that people are not familiar with, to me, with the surname Wan. So today I put out the question. I want people to call and tell me, who is Edward E. Wan? You can't just tell me he's a businessman. I want to know who he daddy is, who he mummy is. And my discussion is whether such information is important to Bahamians, whether there should be a narrative post or pre the announcement that he is running, right? I'm not saying that he is not Bahamian, because I do not know. I'm just saying I'm not familiar with the surname. I'm not familiar with him. One of the comments that was given to me, you're Nassau people, so Nassau-centric. You're limited on knowing what is happening on the family islands, like Grand Bahama is a family island, but I take that as what it is. And I took it as logical criticism. I wasn't mad of the criticism. I understood why the criticism is that I am not knowledgeable of what is happening or the movers and shakers on the family island. I should be in a part of the archipelago, and that we need to stop being more so Nassau-centric. We need to know. Apparently, Mr. Wan is a power player in Grand Bahama. He'll be challenging the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, representing, being the standard bearer for the Progressive Liberal Party. Good. They say that he has a chance of beating, untoppling Michael Pintard. That's possible. But my point is, I do not know who he is. I want to know who he is. I think a narrative of all of the political candidates should be sent out. There should be a blitz, media blitz, on all of the political personnel who's running. And who Edward Wan is. I know they're a small Bahamian family. I remember the first time I saw the surname Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. And I said, where did this Darrell name come from? Doing research, and most of you are familiar that I tend to research family names. That's part of what I do, right? I construct family trees, which I sell, right? I came across Darrell, and I researched that Darrells were here from the late 1800s on Eleuthera. So I pinpoint that name, small Bahamian families. And I come across a number of small Bahamian families that would have like less than 100 members in them, but they've been here for at least a century. But I do not know why. I do not know a soul Wan at all. I asked a person if they know him. They say, yes, he's a Bahamian. Full stop. And I say, okay, I assume if he's running, he would have to have a Bahamian citizenship. But I want to know if, like how the Pyframs are Holowescos and Holowescos are Pyframs, but I understand their narrative. Right? And Miss Holowesco used to make it a standard to explain that even though her surname may be of foreign extract, she is a Pyfrim. She was a Pyfrim Holowesco, and stressed that she's a sixth generation Bahamian. I want to know if Wan is a sixth generation Bahamian. Is Wan Conky Joe, or is he white? Is he Abaco white or Long Island red? Is he Eleuthera yellow? I want to know who Wan is. And a number of people got offended that I asked such a question. See, such should not be important in his lineage, knowing which high school he went to, knowing whether he went to COB, UB, or any of that. Just say, man, he's an investor in the Bahamas, and we need to be content with that's the knowledge or narrative of him. And I said, no, I'm not content. I believe that at times we invite too much people to the barbecue, the family barbecue. Not everyone and anyone need to be participating in what we call the Bahamas. And when I say participating, I'm not saying you cannot contribute, no. But certain things are supposed to be for us. In this election, we'll have a number of Bahamians with different type of surnames. I have no problem with that. I have a small family surname, even though I can trace my family living in the Bahamas for like 160 years, right? Even though I have ties into Hanahasty Tynes, have ties into Mosses, ties into Collie, ties into Simonette, and say, well, I could form all these families and say, see where I come from, right? I can say, even though I also have an immigrant background, that I am Trinidad. I could tell you a story. I can show you Crown Grant land given to the family by Queen Victoria, to my particular family with my surname. And I want to know if having ties to the Bahamas is important, especially when you're vying for politics. Or this will be a new dispensation where in the future we need to prepare ourselves, brace ourselves with first-generation Bahamians, with persons who have been made citizens of the Bahamas, right? Not even first generation yet, will be actively involved in our politics. There was a narrative in Grand Bahama by one of the investors for the Port Authority. It was a big famous quote who said, no matter which political party wins, we both, our side, our investment, the Grand Bahama Port Authority wins. And you can call me and tell me which one of the port figures, St. George's, whatever the German name, you can come in and correct that phrase, that part of our history where he said, man, whoever wins, we win. We in charge. We in making investment. We invest in both sides, right? I want to know how much influence that money has. One of the critiques I was forwarded by my sources on both political major political parties, right, said that when a general manager of a news station was being interviewed, being considered to run, right, they said one of the questions that the selection committee asked him was, when did you become a PLP, I guess me saying all that now, you know who I'm talking about, said, when did you become a PLP? How long have you been a member of the Progressive Liberal Party, right? And there was a stuttering regarding that answer, right? And this is one of the reasons they said, the person my source said, that he was not selected over the other person because one of the candidates had a long-standing relationship within the party, had a history, and had a history 2-3 generations within the party. So the consideration was easy for the selection committee. Said, well, because you have a vested interest in the party, you have first option, right? And because the second person has a more recent access to the party, they was not considered. Then they go back to Mr. Edward Wan. How long has Mr. Edward Wan been PLP? What branch is he a part of? Can someone come and say, man, no, man, he was an active PLP member. He's a stalwart councillor. He is a member of my political party because I know him. He's come to meetings. He's come to town meetings and constituency meetings. And this is why he got the nomination. The nomination over who? Who all were vying for that political post? Doesn't matter. I think I asked yesterday whether the constituency body, the constituency head, do they have the option of pushing back towards the executives of the Progressive Liberal Party and the FNM, we're using both, because we see that issue even with the FNM. Renwood Wells claims that he had the support of the constituency. And of course, no. That ain't working. We see that again with Hubert Minnis, when Hubert Minnis said, but I have the support of the constituency. And the executive of the FNM said, no, you're not a part of it. Tell the constituencies who we sending to represent us. Right, so the issue is both PLP and FNM. It's not just one particular party. And I'm watching members of these parties tolerating. They don't push back. They don't ask. They don't say, but that's not who we want. This is who we want, and this is what the bylines and the rules and the policies of our party say, that you will consider who we want, and if you do not like who we want, you send a name to us or who you want as executives, and then we'll consider it, and then we'll come to a compromise as to what is best for us. But that does not seem to be happening. And I'm not sure that persons who work the polls, persons who are supporters of the party, are being listened to or tolerated. I can use that word. I'm not sure if they're being tolerated enough. And I'm not sure if media is doing a disservice or if they're doing a proper service to us by not creating or providing a narrative of all of the politicals who are vying. Because I haven't seen any newspaper, any news report to say Edward Wan is a businessman. He has interests part of the town. He has been doing this for X amount of years. See, I happen to attend a school that once you say the name of the school, once the other alumni hear the name, we get excited. We start looking out for you. Said, okay, you're part of us. Therefore, you have benefits. We'll take care of you. We'll give you options of assistance. I want to know what's high school Edward Wan gone to. Or it doesn't matter. Can I ask if his people from Long Island? Or it doesn't matter. Is he a good Abaco guy? Or it doesn't matter. How was he selected? I mean, who did he come to the party and say, man, I'm interested in running, right? Make space for me, right? I want to bypass stalwarts inside the party who are interested in running. I believe I'm the better option, right? Or they went looking for him. So, man, the ones that we have here, these set ain't competent enough. We want you because we believe that you can bring. Yeah. So I just wanted to have that discussion. There's still debate online, fallout regarding the former, I'm not going to say former, correct word, the general manager of ZNS and him not being nominated. A number of people are in their emotions saying that is unfair. And I'm putting to those people who are in their feelings that other people were rejected. Other people were not considered or concluded that someone else will get the nomination. It was a competition. And with competition, someone got to be a winner and someone got to be a loser. But it's how you respond to not being selected to being the standard bearer is a testimony of the type of character you are, right? Because politics is supposed to be a team sport. It's a party sport, right? You knew that coming in. I know yesterday one of the callers said, oh, the party didn't tell you have to spend your money campaigning, but the party didn't discourage you of spending the money. The Bahamian people have been calling for campaign reform, and that's what we're talking about, this indiscriminate amount of money being spent. And kind of, that doesn't happen anymore. Everyone have the same amount of money being used. But the politicals don't want it because this system works for them. To get investors to donate. We get embassies to donate. And you get the member of parliament, minister gets the benefit to call, say, receive this with all I have done. I've been able to get private groups to paint the park. I've got private groups to mow the lawn. I have private groups to donate computers to schools. I have private groups to donate books to libraries. I have private groups to pave the road. I have private groups to create a basketball court and recreation facilities for my constituency. And we Bahamians tend to be happy with that, content with that, not complaining about that, right? But there's a saying that there's no free gift, no free lunch. That is always consequences afterwards, right? I found that peculiar. And again, I see nobody is talking about such, right? Recently, I see the director of communication of the prime minister posted some commentary about Mr. Watkins. And I can be cocky at times. I said to him, I think it's inappropriate being the director of communications. Your communication is supposed to be only about the prime minister and the prime minister office. You ain't supposed to have no personal opinion that you say out loud. So once you assume that responsibility, everything, all your utterance is based on whatever the prime minister is pushing forward. You have no opinion, especially political opinions, right? And so I tend to critique so much, to my detriment at times, because people get mad at me. And I say, it's not that I do not like you. I mean, I like you as a person. I think you're brilliant, especially you're young. But certain things, someone need to reel you in and say, no, man, that ain't your job. Let's go to this call here, and I can read what the director of communication issued out. It's on his private page. And I guess everybody's supposed to have private citizens should be able to utter private commentary. But when you're director of communication, I don't know. I just don't know. Let's go to the caller. I can read that shortly. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
I'm calling the show. Can you help me?
Man, I appreciate you, by the way, wanting to sponsor the show. I want to have April. April don't like me giving her the number. You know what? Kermit, but this good lady, who I already appreciate and don't remember who she is, on hold, and transfer her. I can see April right to her desk. Transfer her to April. And she was on the phone. Ma'am, you there?
Yes, sir.
They're telling me that you may have to call the main line and ask for April Moss is her name. That's my handler.
I'll go try and look that up. This is the number I got online. Sorry. Thank you. Have a great show.
I appreciate it greatly.
This is Gandhi. You keep calling me ma'am. I Hannah Hayes.
Hey, this is my cousin. And
right.
When are you coming on my show anyway? You invited me on your show. When are you coming on my show? We could talk some Hannah Hayes business.
We could talk about it.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Gandhi Pinder there. She's one of my distant cousins there. Pretty much. When I found she was my cousin, I just shake my head and said, Lord, look at them Hannah Hayes people. So pretty. Yeah. So continue my conversation. I will is this another caller here or that's the same call I have to drop? Okay, thanks. I'll read this post by Mr. Latre Rabbing, right? I should have all of it right here, right? It says, again, it's a post by Latre Rabbing, who's the director of communication. Like I said, I reached out. I reached out in blast, and people say I tend to say so much things and critique too much. But that's what behemoth is supposed to do. You see your politicos doing things that you don't see as a... No, I don't like it. It says... I've been around politics long enough to know that stepping forward is never easy. It is heavy for the person who offers their name, and it's heavy for the family standing in the background, carrying the strain in silence. Over time, I have learned something else. Very often, the people who never find the courage to step forward are the first to be chastised, the ones who do. As a country, we have to decide what kind of people we want to be in those moments. Do we treat those who try as entertainment, or do we hold on to a basic sense of respect for anyone willing to stand in an open and say, I am prepared to serve? A serious country should feel some pride when its brightest and most capable sons and daughters are willing to leave the safety of their sidelines and offer themselves. I have known Clint as a friend and as a colleague. I have seen his work serious and prepared, and I have seen the man who checks on people, who gives his time, who tries to help where he can. When someone with that heart steps forward, it says something about their love for this country. Stepping forward is never easy. It calls for courage, patience, and a steady spirit. Clint showed that courage. Tonight, I simply want to honor that. I am proud of my friend. I am proud of the courage he showed in offering himself to serve. And I stand as a colleague as his story continues to unfold. And some people say, why would you critique that? I critique that because there are a number of other people who feelings who had suffered the agony of defeat, right? Because we understand politics. But when you see the director of communications siding, because if I was Obi Robert and seeing the director of a community, I would make sure deal with him in the future. I know where his mag is. I'm just saying, you cross it on yourself because you're supposed to be in the middle. None of this politics is supposed to be aired. But now I know you choose side. You ain't for me. I went fair and square and you ain't for me. I just say, I vindictive like that. I remember. The North remembers. I'm just saying, the North just remembers. When I come back, I just have that the night of the white wedding type response. I'm just saying, I'm just different. I see if a caller there. I'm not sure if you can pass that through, but if that's the caller, continuing, right? Continuing reading my notes on topics to talk about, right? And I just said, like I said, I felt uneasy with the response. That's a caller there? Pass the caller through.
Hi, yes.
You're live.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm always good. Blessings to you. Welcome.
I hear you mentioning in reference to the nurses and the doctors that I'm going on strike and in reference to the pregnancy situation and how much you have to pay in order to come in and have baby.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we never look at the beginning of the problem. When you dial 911 and dial 919 for the ambulance, the persons that are paying for that particular service, because ambulance isn't free in the Bahamas.
I just found that out. And mind
you. Yes. We pick up the phone and we dial 911 and 9. And these poor EMTs and paramedics, them, rush to save your life, give up their time. And then, hospital, you jump on that ambulance, get your service done, and that's it.
Mm.
But starting price is actually $350 up. Mm-hmm. Depending on what they do to you in the back there, it goes up even higher.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But how many Bahamians or even foreigners jump in the ambulance, because we call ambulance for every single thing. Mosquito bites, and we call for ambulance. And now we have a shortage of ambulance, and the poor conditions that EMTs and paramedics have to deal with in the Bahamas, and they still put their best foot forward and go ahead and give a service and save lives. So we even ain't talking about reaching to the hospital yet. Mm-hmm. We're talking about them coming to your house and assisting you, and then taking you to the nurses and doctors. But you look past them. And then we go to nurses and doctors.
Let me,
at the end of the day, the whole overtime situation, they were affected as well. But nobody even cared to check for them. That one. Now, in reference to what you were saying on the political side of it, where you say the constituency is voting for you and wants you, but the party does not want that person. The party wants someone else. I have a big problem with that, because at the end of the day, it's the constituents that actually vote. Not the party. And the party should honor whatever the constituencies or the constituents want. And that's not what's been happening. So therein lies a big problem right there. Because at the end of the day, they're voting in their friends and they want their friends to come and run for this constituency. But when the constituents say, that's not who we want, then lies a big conflict. Now, I'm a torchbearer born and raised all my life.
Mm-hmm.
That whole situation with Minnis, that was very distasteful.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, he's holding that seat. That's one. Mm. Two, the constituents want him. But yet, because there's a conflict between Michael Pintard and him and the party on those that are Michael Pintard's side, he can't run under the FNM ticket. And I found that very distasteful. And I love Michael Pintard to death. I love that man. But at the end of the day, that should have been resolved in a better way. Same thing with Clint Watson. Them. The situation should have been resolved in a better way. When your constituents and the constituency person, the party is supposed for them. And when you put a division like that inside a party or between the constituency and the party, you can't be surprised when you lose. Because at the end of the day, you're turning your back on the very same people who are telling you what they want and who have the vote for these people. And it's very hard to campaign with somebody who you don't want there in the first place.
I appreciate you, ma'am. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I appreciate you calling in.
That's my 5 cents.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there listening to you and you're doing a wonderful job. So I'll be listening in.
Thanks very much. We need more people to call in and voice, because the politicals are listening, you know. And when they do what they do and nobody complains, they say, man, see, I did what I do and everything will fall in line. The people we send there. We have more callers, right? We have more callers there. Let the Patrick's next caller for me, Kermit. Go ahead, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Guiding me.
Yes. I listened to the morning, Mr. Derry.
Morning.
I listened to what the lady had to say just now, right? And what was distasteful to me with the Mr. Ministers, because I too am an FNM, what was distasteful was the Oban deal. That, along with the other deal with Mr. Renwin Bell. So those two things were distasteful for me, and I hope Mr. Pindad continues on doing a very good job. He's doing a good job. Thank you.
Thank you. I am vexed about the Oban deal, right, because it was missing. I swore that the PLP administration was going to reveal what the Oban deal had, and no, never. Nothing. I still didn't know. I still don't know about the I Group. I know some land was taken back, but some land they still have, and I'm not sure what's happening with Meghwana on that land. It's just gone. Nope, nobody's talking about it. The L deal, I stop asking for things, man. This is how we do business in the Bahamas. And the electorate don't complain. This is us. This is us. Why complain? Let's go to the call again. Guardian Radio AM. How you doing? You're live. Let's move on to
good
the
morning.
Oh, I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. There's an echo now, so turn down radio.
I was listening to you from you started. Right? Yes, Salvo. And just to piggyback on what that lady said, you know, while I agree with her, she knows that isn't how it works in the real world, you know. But the problem with the Clint Watson situation, I think Clint was being overly ambitious, and he basically got what he deserved, you know, because he was the press secretary. He held that position for about 2 years. He outgrown that for whatever reason. He wanted to be general manager. They gave him that. Obviously, he outgrown that. Now he wants to be a member of parliament. He wants to be considered as a candidate as a member of parliament. All of that in a 4-year cycle, CA. But the press secretary, general manager, they are prestigious jobs. That job is what journalists, I guess, would strive to be. To become. But he had those two. That wasn't enough. You know, the Bible said be content. He didn't want to be content. He wanted to be overly ambitious. And I basically got basically what he deserved. Now, in respect to, and I have no, I feel, you know, that maybe he learned from it. And maybe he can now apply himself as general manager by being the first to report to work and the last one to leave. Now, in respect to the F&M situation, CA, you're here?
I'm here, man, listening.
A lot of people within the FNM don't understand the philosophy of the party. And this is why I believe we are having so much contention.
Wait, the FNM have a philosophy?
I didn't hear you.
The FNM have a philosophy?
Yes. Yes. At least when I joined the FNM back in 1990, I got a copy of the PLP party constitution, and I got a copy of the FNM's party constitution, and what I read in the FNM, it caused me to gravitate towards them. You know, the dissident eight, they formed the FNM because they couldn't exercise these basic tenets that they formed the party with, which was freedom of speech, freedom of expression, without fear of victimization. That is why they left the PLP, because they were being suppressed. They couldn't express themselves. Now you have these new FMs, they come in, and they recruit them from all over the place, you know. They bring in people from all over the place. I thought that is what the youth arm of the Torchbearers was supposed to use as a theater program and to elevate people. But they bring in these people from anywhere, walks of life, who don't know FMs, who don't understand the philosophy of the party. And then if they give you 10 things and you decide that you're going to exercise your constitutional rights, and you're going to go with 9, all of a sudden you don't know FNM no more. What is that? Mm. Or you don't know this. You know, but until they understand the philosophy of the party, you know, you have a lot of free thinkers within the FNM. And of course, it will get contentious. People are going to express themselves. But when they express themselves, they are suppressing the actual philosophy of the party. It's just unbelievable. Because if you look at the philosophy of the party, it was founded on freedom of speech and freedom of expression without fear of victimization, intimidation, and harassment. And that, for whatever reason, then they have a problem with you expressing yourself. But that's what the dissident age wanted.
Okay.
That's what they want. I know that some of them are spinning over in their graves because you have these people, oh, you got to be subservient to this one, or you got to be subservient to that one. That's nonsense.
Okay.
That's absolutely nonsense. And Menace was a big contributor to his demise because he wanted to silence his critics.
Okay. I hear you. The phone lines are filled. Let me read this text and see how many of them I can include before we take a break. So, good morning, C.A. Nuri. What association did Sabas was a part of? And on what meeting did he attend? Will Kingsley Smith be any trouble with his statement? Plenty persons don't believe in PM and Deputy PM word anymore. Pay the nurses. I don't believe Sabas was ever a PLP. I just believe he was able to jump the line. These things happen when you're an investor. It happens. But none of the PLP complained. They didn't say, well, hey, I like him, but he need to do all of these things first. I've been here a long time. It is what it is. Let's go to one of these more calls before we take a break. Guardian Radio AM, this is CA. How you doing? Go ahead.
Yes, good day, sir.
Good day.
You know, I would like to critique the doctor was on earlier on the show earlier, right?
I had no doctor on the show earlier.
No, not on your show. But
then, no,
show
you can't do that then. Audacity. Done. Let me read this text. So, good morning, Mr. Nuri. I quite agree with your critique, but who knows? Maybe this is the new slick way of communications, hiding authors in plain sight. Well, Clint Watson lost the bid. I am glad because his politicking of the news is rampant against ethics. And there was a number of complaints about how the general manager of ZNS and with his former job, how he dealt with his news, right? And they critique it, right? This text says, CA, the female caller is not an FNM. She is a Minnesite, and they worship Minnes. The country said they are tired of Minnes. He should have stepped away. He didn't, and still going up against the appointed leader. I am not an FNM, but that's clear as day. She need to go to work in Minnes practice. She loves him. Okay, so much. Okay, let's get one more call and let me take a break, Kermit, right after this caller. Guided Radio AM, we're going to take a break right after you get caller. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio AM.
Hello.
You're live. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Nuri.
Yep, good morning.
Yes, sir. Mr. Nuri, that lady who called earlier, that lady mixed up, man.
She mixed up?
Like Kong Sala, I'm not a campaign member for any political party, right?
Mm-hmm.
But think about this, Mr. Nuri, right? You work if you work.
Yes.
I don't know if you work full-time or part-time, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some things you do to contribute to Guardian Radio's success,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm sure Mr. Strawn, who's in charge, calls the meeting and says, okay, let's be here for a certain time. You don't come to the meeting, you're always there, trying to lambaste the leader. You're not a good member of the team, a good team player.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not a member of any political party, but Dr. Menace got what he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Menace never showed up at the press conferences the FNM had. He was a one-man band. So the thing is, if he didn't get nomination, I mean, I think it would have been insane if they had given him a nomination because of the fact that he was not a team player.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm not an FNM, I'm not a PLP, and that's a Bahamian, right? But you cannot be not a part of the team, and then you want to be a part of the team. But that don't make no sense. Now, the lady can vote for him, but I think he's running independent, or whoever he's running for, she can still vote for Dr. Menace. But if Dr. Menace was under the PLP, same thing would have happened. I think he would have been removed much sooner. Because the PLP tend to do things a little more quickly in that regard. You know what I'm saying? But you enjoy your day, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break right now. I see the callers here. I have someone who just sent this text about Eddie Wan. Said Eddie Wan was born and raised in the Bahamas at at the Grand Bahama Clinic. Bahama and his kids also live here. He won the Philanthropic yes, of the year 3 times out of 5 times he was nominated. Sponsored many charity clubs, in particular Falcon Boys Club, for 25 out of 27 years. Also kids sports such as softballs, soccer tournaments, etc. Served the kids with breakfast at West End All Age School. And for five years, if you guys need more info, it will be brought up soon. So other people realize that nobody knows this one, and now they put in a narrative. And I'll continue to push until someone gives her the proper narrative on who he is. Now we found that he born in the Grand Bahama. He born inside a clinic. He's very philanthropic. How come I can't pronounce that word today? Anyway, so that's good to know. Carl, I see you. If you could hold on to the next side. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Junior just showed me Bulla phone.
What you mean? He take
one Bulla hair. You say that? You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing, just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. During the PLP's announcement of its last candidates, there was a picture that is now making its rounds on social media. It's a picture of first-generation Bahamians of Haitian extract. I call them Haitian Bahamians. It's easy for me to say that. I'm familiar with all three, right? They are political advocates. They are vocal. They take part vigorously of our election process. They campaign. They are Bahamians. They attend Bahamian school, and they are active. They took the picture celebrating, saying that we are here. We are to be seen. We are Bahamians of Haitian extract. I posted a picture, right? Because they took the picture, therefore I posted a picture, right? There are a number of Bahamians who became defensive, said two different sides. One, these Haitians, they said, are trying to take over. That's who the PLP is pandering to. That's one stream of thought. And there's another group who said, you're feeding into the COI's rhetoric of anti-immigrants. I responded, these are Bahamians. They are celebrating their constitutional right to be at a political rally, political association, and they shouldn't be forced to hide. If they are Bahamians of Haitian descent and they even have their flag waving and whatever it is or identify as such, why should they hide that? Why should I not promote that? Right? There's different type of Bahamians. I just found it odd that some people in their fair say, oh, I don't want you to jinx the party, so therefore don't tell anyone that they are of Haitian extract, right? And then, oh, this is definitely of Haitian extract. They dare to manipulate the votes. I defy these things. Or what. Let's go to this caller. Guardian Radio AM, how you doing, caller?
Hey, Nui, let me touch on two things before I call on the main thing. The war guy, one guy.
One.
Don't worry, I got a lot of PLP Star Wars calling me, asking me who he is also.
So few people know who he is?
No, because what happens is, it's a long story, I can call you offline. But the Star Wars are trying to find out who it is. In fact, Ms. Pratt was working that constituency, they're running against Pintad. It seems like what happens is the PLP is almost like doing pickup basketball and moving people around. So they already know that even stalwarts within the Marco City constituency are told PLP is who's running. Baby, don't waste your money. Don't let the party cost you to waste your money. Go find another seat. That's what they're telling them today. That's because of the impact that Pintad has had on their lives because he doesn't discriminate against them. So don't worry. I'm waiting for explanation. I heard what the synopsis they give them, but, you know, I have my own dissertation concerning the candidates on Grand Bahama. But on the Haitian thing, right, the problem is not, I don't think the problem is for the three people. I think it's the position they take. Yes, they are behemoth, but they are pro-Haitian and pro-immigrants and pro what some people perceive as pro-illegal immigrants. And so I won't go into the dissertation concerning their positions and the voice notes and the positions they take. So that's, I think, it's more about how they are, because consider that we have 30,000 illegal Haitians and probably about 30 or 40,000 Haitian behemoths of Haitian descent. Then why does those three elicit such strong response? We got thousands of others. Just think about that for a moment. Now, go to Menace. The lady who calls suffers from what is called cognitive dissonance, because clearly, Mr. Menace don't have the courage. Do you know that the day that Mr. Menace nominates is the same as him resigning from the party? Right? So why does Menace need to wait till the party just by getting the nomination? Because Mr. Menace also utilized the same utilities. And people say, oh, the people choose him. No. The people in the branch, those 15 to 20 people, does not represent the 6,000 to 7,000 people in any constituencies. That's the broken system that Ms. Erin Green always talks about the selection process. And so the problem is that when you say this constituency wants him and the constituency wants whatever, what about all those other people that they got the constituencies and they still got their butts beat in those previous elections over the decades? So that's not how it works. But look at what Menace did to the Dissident 7 and all the other people in the party. Did he not use the very same tool to bring order and control in the party that led him to be prime minister? And it's funny that now he somehow doesn't seem to understand the very constitution that used to protect him as being a team player and choosing a team of individuals who you could work with to build a country. Mr. Menace seems to be suffering from some shell shock and has passed that delusion on to his supporters. Thank you so much.
Okay. This text says, Mr. Nuri, Kalani is going to be interesting. I live in Kalani, and Dr. Menace is an excellent representative. I haven't seen anyone yet who can replace him. My vote today is still Dr. Menace. If not him, then I will go to Dr. MacGyver. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How do I connect with you to have a family tree done? Adley is a surname from Burnt Ground, Long Island. Mind you, Adley has a huge family tree on Ancestry.com. They have the white Adleys and they have the descendants of slave Adleys. I mean, you could go on Ancestry.com and just type in Adley and you can see various trees. Bradley Roberts, the late Bradley Roberts, have several hundred family trees already online. You go there and type in your ancestor's name, the grandfather, whatever it is. And if he comes up, his tree will come up and then you start from there. So that's kind of good. But yeah, the Adley has a number of families there. I can have a show about family trees soon. Let's go to this caller here. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How are you today?
Doing well, man.
Let me ask you this quick question, Mr. Nuri. Why would Star Council of the PLP call an FNM to ask them about Mr. Wong and Grand Bahama? Why? What you think they will actually do that PLP to ask them than rather than ask an FNM?
Well, Allen is different. People from different political parties call him because they have him as an intellectual. So I hear your point.
Listen,
I hear your point, but PLP and AFNMers reach out to him because of who he is.
Mm-hmm. But let's be realistic. Yes, he might be one of those intellectuals, but he's not the only intellectual in the Bahamas. You can't have doctors for everything. And at the end of the day, Mr. Wong was born in the Bahamas, right? And like he said, his story will come out when he brings his presentation on the campaign trail. You know, I advise those in Grand Bahama who don't know Mr. Wong, just wait and see. But at the end of the day, the lady who spoke earlier spoke about persons who the constituents want. But listen, the party process is totally different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Until the party changes the constitution to make that process that is what the constituents want, then it happens. You know, leadership in the party, along with the candidates committee, chooses candidates. It's not who, you know, because you will have two or three different sides of an argument with two or three different persons vying for one constituency, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the party has to choose the best person they feel fit that particular constituency at this time to help them bring home the win. And that's exactly what the party does. Have a nice day, sir.
Yes, and I appreciate that, sir. And I understand what you're trying to say. And this is why I'm still waiting to see if by either the COI or the AFNM. Because, you know, they think about victory, right? Let's read these texts before I go because it's now 12 o'clock. They are more focused on politics. They fail to respond to the crisis that with shortage of ambulance and nurses pay. Everyone more concerned about politics until there is a strike again. And I think the nurses and the ambulance workers need to strike together to make a statement. No, I don't want them to strike together, Dexter. I heard that, what do you call it, the interns? They haven't been paid for a while. So I don't know if it's true or not. So we need to look into that. Maybe someone from the media will say, go and interview those people. It's some stressful times inside that hospital, Princess Margaret Hospital. I'm just now finding out there's different type of nurses. There's nurses run by the PHA, and there's another type of nurses, right? And both are being paid differently and by different mechanism. I can need a show on just nurses. Why they vex? Why they ain't getting paid? What's but overtime? I wonder if I could get that nurses union president online and just have a conversation with her. Yeah, I can work on that. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.